With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5. Wise food, you to drink a wine, mama. Pass that bottle to me. Drink it, wise food, you to drink wine, mama. Wise food, you to drink a wine, mama. Wise food, you to drink a wine, mama. You're such a diva, Mike Bailey.
Well,
you're such a diva. I want to protect what hearing I got left in my life.
Yeah. Unless there's a free concert going on somewhere.
That depends. So, well, good morning, everybody. Good Sunday morning.
I'm in acoustic guitars for my entertainment now.
I am too, especially the unplugged stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Good morning, Stu. Good morning, Charlie. How are y'all this morning?
We aight.
Buenos dias.
Oh, it sounds like he's got another cruise coming.
We're a bilingual show here.
No, we're just going to go to the boats and help paint Mississippi green.
There we go.
Yes,
I'm glad the fine folks of Mississippi enjoy a finer quality of public education than we do, because all our tax dollars
and better roads.
Yep.
And they finish the roads.
Mm-hmm.
When they start building, they finish them over there. But anyway, hey, we're a food and wine show.
But thank God for Alabama, Arkansas still exists. We can look down our nose at somebody.
The joke used to be Mississippi. You know?
Well, Mississippi's been light years ahead of us for decades.
God, in a lot of ways. Well, but
need to have
not in football, though, brother.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We got that. That's what Alabama hangs our hat on. Oh, what do y'all do? Oh, we play football.
We kick your ass.
Really, really well.
Yeah, I was watching some video last night of some, Dixieland Delight. Mm-hmm. When it gets to be fourth quarter at Tuscaloosa, they're letting them play the song again. So that just getting me excited.
I'm getting all giddy inside. Who's playing Dixieland Delight band?
No, the
song.
Everybody in the audience, everybody in the crowd sings that at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Right.
They banned it for a while, and now they let them sing it again.
Why, was it a copyright violation?
They put their own words to it. Let's just say that.
Like that chant the Alabama folks do at the end of the game?
Yeah, but that's their chant. They wrote that.
That's a cheer
put on TV?
Yeah. And honestly, shouldn't, when you beat North Texas 9-7 because of a blown call by the officials, you don't get to say we just beat the hell out of you.
Beat the hell for sure.
Well, you can
the
say
time
it.
You don't. You shouldn't do that at the end of every game.
That's what I. That's
only
what,
games where you win.
That's
by
what
10
I, about,
points,
I hate yeah. about. I understand it helps their program out, but it doesn't help Alabama or Auburn or any SEC team that plays cupcake teams, because I think they play down to them instead of.
Yeah.
Them playing up.
Yeah.
It may be playing up for them, but
oh, that North Texas team was better than y'all. But that was back during Mike Dubose. That was the 3-7 year. That team was better than y'all.
That was a horrible season.
Yeah.
If he hadn't beat Florida twice that year, he wouldn't have had a job the next year.
I was kind of pulling for Mike Price because we could have had a whole new breed if Mike Price
were still at Alabama. Oh, my gosh.
We could have had a whole
fun.
New breed of cheerleaders.
Oh, no doubt.
And our cheerleaders would have came across the Florida state line.
Yep.
Out of Pensacola and Fort Walton area.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But they
that
would have eaten
horrible.
Good. They would have eaten good.
Horrible season.
That's right.
Yeah. Horrible. Horrible.
Speaking of that, I think... What's
from
on the menu today?
Yeah, from Dubose to Shula to Price, the University of Alabama will never hire anyone with the first name Michael for any position ever again.
And they should.
They had a T-shirt. Did you see the T-shirt?
Uh-uh.
It said Mike, and it had who was the first one? Dubose. And then it had an
Dubose.
X through it. Then it had Price through it. Then it had Shula.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're just getting giddy about football season.
Yeah, we're ready for it. Because football season means tailgating.
It could still be
sleep deprivation.
It could still be 97, 99 degrees out there, but when football season starts.
There's a nip in the air.
It's a nip in the air, sure
there
is.
A nip in the air. Do you know what football I watched last night?
What's that?
I watched a video of the 1985 game
Oh, yeah.
Between the Theodore Bobcats and Mary G. Montgomery Vikings.
Oh, wow.
Who was showing that?
My Google Drive, because the guys on our team got together. It was mainly Keith Booker, our quarterback, and Brian Davis, who I may still hold the rushing record at MGM to this day, over 1,300 yards in a season.
And somebody had saved the video?
All of the – every school does. You're required to.
Yeah, but how long do you keep it?
Forever.
I guess.
But they got a hold of it, spent several hundred dollars getting it digitized, so each of us chipped in $25 to get it on a thumb drive. Which
are we digitized?
I am. You're as analog as it gets.
Here's the thing. We're all analog, but we're digital on the air. So when does that change happen?
I don't know. You're the radio expert.
I think once it gets into the microphone.
Oh, okay. Either that or they put it in the Wayback Machine and it takes care of it.
Mm-mm-mm.
I'm getting dizzy with all these circles we're going around.
Stream of Consciousness Radio.
Hey, man.
Topicless.
I went to the Taste Awards. I'm sorry. Went to the Nappy Awards.
Nappy, not Naffy.
Nappy.
Oh, yeah.
Nappy Awards that night.
So you got
it was great. I'm going to tell you what. What's great about the Nappy Awards
is the after party.
Is the
after party.
Well, the video, the movie that they put together at the beginning of each show, each award show, and they use local talent, you know, local people you know. Mm-hmm. And it was hilarious. They every year they get better and better at what they depict and who they're picking on and what state official and city official and local celebrities that they pick to do these videos like a motion picture.
Mm-hmm. And how did you guys fare?
Hilarious. I mean, we
didn't win.
We were nominated. We had our name up on the screen.
Well, woo! There you go.
But I asked some people with the Lanyap. I said, "How did Stu and I end up in the DJ category?"
The way that everyone ends up in every category, Mike. That's how it's determined. Whoever the people vote for, one puts anybody in a category.
Well, when you're nominated, the people nominating you put you in that category. That's what they said.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to say
that's
something.
What that whole thing is for on their website.
Next year, when we do this, we got to make sure
best
they
looking
know.
Politician. That's what we want to be in next year.
Hey.
Best looking politician.
Well, I want us to be in the category most like DJs you'd most likely want to see naked. That's the category I want to be.
Hey, if that happens, I'm out of here.
It's only because they want to see the freak show left on my abdomen after all the surgeries.
No.
Well, I don't know. I say they showed Ryan Balthrop and local musician, and I don't know who the other guy was, but they're pretty hefty guys.
Hey,
you know, they're pretty thick guys.
Just because we play bump music does not DJs make you.
No. Yeah. But anyway, they did this little small short story on Jaws. Mm-hmm. And so here's Ryan Balthrop and this other guy wearing Speedos on the beach, rubbing sunblock on each other. It's hilarious.
Oh man. Just
and
like
then they go get in the water, and then here comes this guy dressed up in a shark outfit, you know, attacking them. So the mayor of Orange Beach, they have to go get him out of the Floribama.
Tony Kenyon.
Yeah, they have to go get him out of the Floribama to go fight the shark. It's hilarious. They
are
come
there
up
any
funny
winners
stuff.
That you remember?
Everybody's a winner.
Let me tell you what.
I think so, too.
They awarded Mel Showers. That was very touching.
The guy that came back from
Alan Seals got an award.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. He got a standing ovation.
Is Alan still in town?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he will be. He's, you know, I love his wife. His wife used to come to a lot of wine tastings. And,
yeah.
And he's all right with that?
Yeah, Charlie, they announced all 700 winners. I have. Ooh. How long was the ceremony? Because I've heard it's getting close
to
5 hours.
They sped it up. They got everybody in every category to start lining up down the hallway so they could just run them through. It's speed award time. Speed award. So anyway, we went to the party. It took me over 35 minutes to get a drink.
Really?
And it was just slam-packed.
It must have been a real test for you.
There must have been 3,000 people there.
Really?
At that event.
Yeah. Where was it?
At Sanger.
Wow.
At Sanger.
My friend Jan, who moved down here from Chicago about 97, 98, would always hear people talk about going to see things at the Sanger Theater. And she always assumed that it was the Singer Theater and it was just our accent. And when I took her to see an event there and she read how it's spelled, she was like, it actually is Sanger? And I went, yeah. And she goes, I just thought it was your accent.
It is. It is that too.
So I gave her a quick background of the Sanger family that, you know, that philanthropically had built these theaters all along the Gulf Coast.
Mm-hmm. Quality theaters.
Beautiful, beautiful theaters. But we're up against break, theaters, folks. 343-0106 if you want to get involved. We ain't got no guests this
and
morning.
You'd be like Tax Man. And look, see, he's already texting already. It ain't even those shows yet.
Yeah.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track, and you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hi, my name is Alon Shia from Stratton, New Orleans, and you're listening to Sip and Chew from Mike and Stu.
We're going to record a new one when Little Miss Lovitz gets working over
there. Yeah, I was going to say, she starts July 31st? Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I saw that. I congratulated her on Facebook this morning.
And no sooner does she get back than they're going to be closing for a week for remodeling. But she's going to be helping out Panini Pete.
Awesome.
She doesn't know where yet, but she's going. Pete's going to put her in one or more kitchens.
I know
for a
place he can put her at.
Yeah. You talking about the Squid Ink?
Yeah.
Place? Andy McDonald had a little write-up in it in Lanyap this past week.
I missed that.
Was he
complimentary?
He didn't eat there. He was just talking about it opening and had a quote from me about it being bar food for grown-ups, but I thank Andy for reaching out to me and wanting my thoughts to add to his little blurb. He's going to get in there soon, and then he'll have a full-on review. This was just in the word of mouth where he just does a paragraph or two about several things.
Well, if Panini Pete's involved, I think it is and will be a quality setup.
And he'll make sure of it.
But grab the Lanyap and check that out, and then I'm sure when Andy goes in and does the full tour of the menu, he'll be as blown away by Squid Ink as you and I were and everyone else. And real quick, we got a caller. We're going to get to Tim here in just a second, but I just want to say we got some birthdays this week, some chefs.
Who?
Today, this very day, Mike, as we speak, Vlad Moldovano from Mediterranean Sandwich Company. He's 132 years old.
Happy birthday, Vlad, if you could.
Yeah, Ozzy Lopez got at Ozzy's Restaurant in Grand Bay a couple of days ago, and then coming up this week.
I gotta go eat there.
You do. And then coming up this week is Tori McPhail of Commander's Palace over in New Orleans, which is probably one of the two or three most important restaurants in America.
I doubt I'll be getting over there.
Probably not listening.
You don't know.
I know.
Tori and I go whack.
Hey, we get calls from all over the world from our
We have South African listeners. We have people in South Africa.
And this Saturday night.
That's why they're sneaking across the border to get here.
From South Africa?
Yeah, yeah.
They sneak over the border called the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, yeah.
The big pond.
Leaky old boat.
It's a big border. This Saturday night at the Listening Room in Mobile, it's going to be my niece and nephews-in-law again, Heather and the Monkey King. Everything I heard about the last show was it was one of the most memorable musical events in Mobile in many years. And they're doing it again this Saturday. You got a call for reservations. There ain't a whole lot of room in that place.
The Listening.
Wow.
Yeah, the Listening.
And I'm going to tell you, we have.
An interesting concept.
Now, where are they from? Where are they from?
Bay St. Louis. Well, okay. Ben Harper plays bass for them. He is actually the lead guitarist for Mithril here in Mobile. Mm-hmm. Works with the Mobile Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah.
But Heather and Stevie moved over to Bay St. Louis.
Beautiful place.
They were gigging in Mobile, gigging in New Orleans. That's kind of the halfway point.
Yeah.
And they're both school teachers during the day.
Bay St. Louis.
We have some of the greatest talent along the Gulf Coast here. You know, Phil Proctor just got best guitarist again, fourth year in a row.
Guitars. Hold on, Tim.
And I'm going to tell you, I was at Callahan's Wednesday night, me and Luann, and Christy Lee was there. Mm-hmm. Eric Erdman got up. Mm-hmm. Emily Stuckey. It was incredible, the music that they put out the other night. And a lot of it was gospel and bluegrass. And it was fun and fine. We had a great time.
Yeah, but we got to get to Tim from Loxley, who has gumbo questions. And Mike Bailey here is the originator, the creator, the inventor of lima bean gumbo. So, Tim, ask him any question you got.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the intro. Hey, I'm really enjoying your digital show this morning. It's coming in nice and clear, too, by the
awesome.
Way. Awesome. Yeah, I got a question, a two-part question. One is on gumbo. If someone makes gumbo and puts a crab in there, a hole, and doesn't take the underbelly flap off, is that a no-no when it comes to cooking, you know, throwing a crab in a gumbo, or is that okay?
Well, I don't see where you're gonna get a benefit by leaving the crab whole. The best thing to do is cut the crab up in four quarters.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you gotta let the inside.
Also, when you go to get your seafood, tell them you want gumbo crabs. Yeah. It's a specific size and everything. They're already cleaned and ready to go. And
some are already cut.
Yeah, and they'll already be cut up, too.
Yeah, and that's what you want because, you know, there's a lot of flavor on the inside of that crab body. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
but there's also some dead man's fingers.
So. And yes, stuff like that. But that's what you want. If you throw a whole crab in there, that's just for decoration. That's not getting...
Yeah, well, I'm more concerned with the little flap in the back. I always thought that was like the poo-poo flap in the back. Did you take that off and clean it up, or does it matter?
Well, it'll be ready for you.
Boil of water, man. There's nothing going to survive.
It'll be ready for you when you go ahead and ask for the gumbo crabs. Yeah. It's ready for you. So,
All right. You don't have to worry about it. My question is, you guys, you connoisseurs of the Cajun cuisine, if I were to take a trip to New Orleans, which I'm planning to do, and I wanted to go to a restaurant, and I wanted to have a Cajun you know, New Orleans style meal, if you will. Could you kind of lay out the appetizer, the main course, and the dessert? I should order it to get the full taste and the full, you know, New Orleans thing.
Well, you're gonna want
where, but just kind of like
what appetizer, you're gonna want gumbo to start with.
Well, here's spicy, but not too spicy.
Well, let me tell you,
listen, guys. Enjoy your show.
Tim, before you hang up. Thank you for providing a rudder to the show this morning.
All right, Tim, here's my thoughts on New Orleans and Southeast Louisiana food. Mm-hmm. They're almost two different things.
Yeah.
New Orleans food
is Creole.
It's Creole and a lot of French. A
lot of cream, a lot of butter.
If you want pure Cajun,
go to Thibodeau,
go to Raceland, go
Mandeville.
To Mandeville, go Road to Pierre Park, go to Lafayette, and it's Lafayette, not Lafayette. It's Lafayette.
Yeah,
all those
unlike
little
in Tennessee
towns,
where it's Lafayette.
Yeah, and all those little towns outside of New Orleans, in the little canals and little canal towns, and sugar cane fields every damn where, for as far as you can see, that's where the real Cajun food is.
Okay, but you're going to New Orleans, so give him a recommendation.
There's a place called...
Not places. He wants dishes.
Appetizer, so, main dish, and...
Well, I'm going to tell you, they carry a lot of the same thing, you know, but their dirty rice is just...
Well, that's a side.
Incredible. The gumbo,
of course... Don't call it dirty rice, though. They do not call it dirty rice in Louisiana. They get offended by the
term. Etouffee. Get the etouffee.
Yeah, get some kind of etouffee as your main course.
But don't get etouffee with sausage. Get etouffee with boudin.
Crawfish.
Either boudin or crawfish.
Yeah.
Or David Hubble, help me out here, buddy.
I would do probably gumbo to start with.
Soft shell crabs.
Yeah. He wants a dish, Mike, not ingredients. He's not going shopping.
Soft shell crabs is a dish.
A Cajun seafood platter. Ralph and Cacu's did a great one. I'm sure Acme Seafood does a great one as well.
Yeah.
But some kind of seafood platter so that you get all the different ways that they do the seafood.
See,
there.
A lot of restaurants, I can't remember their names in New Orleans, but I can drive right to them.
Yeah. But for dessert, that's your calling card. You love the sweets. Something
just
like
give
a praline
him one.
Cheesecake.
He doesn't need a
whole bananas Foster.
Oh yeah, my God, I love bananas.
Yeah,
Foster.
Bananas Foster over anything.
Absolutely.
But yeah,
so
there's
what do you do if you're diabetic? Stay home.
You don't eat dessert.
I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, you just that's the thing that gets me with this whole thing of people going, well, I'm gluten-free, so I need to come up with a gluten-free bread for my sandwiches. No, you need to stop eating sandwiches.
Well,
if you want to be gluten-free, stop eating anything bread-like.
Charlie, you don't need to be eating dessert at those Fern Lobby restaurants anyway.
Yeah, those are just pure sugar.
You need to go like the bicycle shop.
I did have a piece of lemon meringue pie at Neighbor's yesterday.
You need to go to the bicycle shop at 11 o'clock at night after you've been out drinking and go eat some Cammy's toffee ice cream with pan-fried pears on them.
Panko encrusted.
Panko encrusted. I think it's been soaking in, marinating in Grand Marnier as well.
This is available at 11 o'clock on Saturday
anytime,
night.
Well, anytime, but it tastes real good at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, it's available till 2 o'clock.
With honey drizzle over it. Oh, my God, that stuff is it's addictive.
Well, I missed that last card, Charlie. How much time we got?
We only have about a minute. So, Thomas, if you can, hold on. Or you want to put him on? Oh, I can delay it.
Okay, let's go ahead and get Thomas on.
Good morning, Thomas.
I'm delayed.
No, you're on, Thomas. You want to talk about the toll and restaurants.
Yeah. Good morning. Thank you for having me on. Happy Sunday, and all the best to everybody, to Mike and to Stu and to Philip and Donald and Moss and all them. Anyhow, you think this toll for this bridge is going to be affected adversely of the restaurant business?
It's going to affect everybody.
Fruit and vegetables for the restaurants, the music industry, and that type of commerce altogether.
Yep, and the price of gas in Baldwin County is going to go up 10 cents a gallon in a few weeks, and it's going to go up another 28 cents a gallon when this happens.
So
it's just the economic impact.
The tomato salad, how will that affect the restaurants?
They're not going to get anything from Baldwin County anymore.
It's
not
like
going to be good for anyone
curtain.
Except the fat cats in Montgomery who are getting rich off of this. And none of that money's going to go to roads or schools or anything.
Big companies.
They're going to embezzle all of it and move to Mexico.
It's big companies that are
putting
the money up.
Well, there's a number of people that are fighting this. What are you fellas planning to do to fight this?
Move to another state.
You're moving?
No. I'm not going to.
Well, I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to put a lot of strain on the Bankhead Tunnel, and it's already old. And I live downtown. I always take the Bankhead to Causeway anyway. But it's going to make my travel harder because people are going to be going through downtown. The traffic on Government Street downtown is going to increase like 20-fold or more. And then they got the Cochran Bridge, the traffic on there because people are going to do what they can to avoid the toll.
Yeah, but Thomas, we got to go to a break, buddy.
Okay,
but yeah, it's not going to be good for anyone.
My wife and I decided we're just not going to go east anymore.
That's
pretty much what most people are going to do. Eat in Loxley.
Yeah,
just going to go west.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We got a commercial, folks. 343-0106. When we get back, we'll probably tell you where we're at.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
This is Billy Stitt with Billy Small Batch Bacon. I'm here from Old 27 Grill on the Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
Oh, Bill.
Didn't you say the grill had changed names?
Yeah, he changed to Billy's.
I think it's Billy's
Old 27 Grill.
We need a new bump, Billy.
Oh, either one works. He's still with Billy's Bacon.
Well, that's true.
So Charlie ate at Neighbors this week.
And?
Well, he just said he ate at Neighbors.
Yeah, but I want to add to that a negative comment.
Oh.
And I know you're going to find it. You're going to make an exception to this, Stu, but we had company come from out of town, and I was thinking, all right, and I don't want to name the restaurants. But I went online and because I was thinking, let's go downtown. We haven't been downtown in a while. The last time was at Bob's Downtown Diner, and the time before that was at Wenzel's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I looked up two restaurants that are prominently in the discussion here and other places. And there were a few things on the menu that I recognized. But there was a lot of stuff on there that I've never had in my life, and I don't know that I'm really in an experimental mood And I wonder sometimes if it's the chef or the owners or a combination of both that designs the menu for a new restaurant, if you don't need to be careful that you include enough traditional dishes on the menu that people who just say, hey, I like flat iron steak, so I'm going to go to this place, you know.
Go to a steakhouse.
Well, yeah. But you understand what I'm saying? I'm not too sure I want rabbit and grits.
I would prefer that to chicken.
Things that I look at that I don't even know what it is. Yeah. What is that word? What is Wagyu?
Wagyu?
What is that?
Beef. It's the best beef in the world.
Why don't they say beef?
Because it's the best beef in the world. People are going to look at it then and go, why is this burger $17? Because it's made with the most expensive beef in the world, which is Wagyu.
Yeah. But the point I'm making, we decided not to go because, one, they were tired from the trip.
Yeah.
And secondly, we just decided we'll try the new stuff another time.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point because I just got a review copy of Burn the Ice, The American Culinary Revolution and Its End by Kevin Alexander. He's a James Beard Award-winning food writer.
Right.
And he's talking about how each chef trying to always one-up what they had done before is unsustainable. Eventually you're going to run out of exotic ingredients and stuff like that. And he said it's already started, that now people are starting to simplify menus. But you got to remember, whether we love Mobile or not, we are 10 to 15 years behind the rest of the country in anything fad-like. Our food scene is booming right now when everybody else's was booming 15 years ago. Everybody else's is dying off.
With those ingredients and those foods.
Right. This is not anything new to the rest of the 49 states. Everyone has known what Wagyu beef was outside of Mobile for 25 years.
Yeah, and I was using that word.
Yeah.
It just came
but that's what I'm saying. When I was at Mars Hill in 2008, I did a wrap with sun-dried tomato and feta cheese in it, which has been overdone for 30 years in this country, and people thought I had created something new. And I was doing a 25-year-old dish because so many people in Mobile refused to leave Mobile County for vacation. I have friends that the furthest they have ever been from Mobile County is Gulf Shores, and in a lifetime, and that's sad.
That is very sad.
That's very sad. We have a great world to live. All of this country is beautiful. You should see all of it.
And we're an international port city.
Yes, absolutely. But we got David Calametti on the phone.
Who?
David Calametti.
Well, oh, that's that world traveler guy.
Yeah, he is. Back from Puerto Rico.
Oh, that's Danny.
Danny was in Puerto Rico.
I thought you both went
to Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Oh well, yeah, you know what?
Now you're talking my language.
San Juan, Hattiesburg, potato, potato.
You see who keeps up with you more, though.
This weekend we were up in Hartselle, Alabama.
Yeah, I saw. Been to Hartselle
for the cotton picking barbecue cook-off. But that's not really why I called. This is actually very appropriate to what Charlie was just talking about. We took as we were in North Alabama doing our Alabama coasting in North Alabama. We took the opportunity to go by Odette in Florence,
mm-hmm.
and that's Chef Josh Quick's place. But his sous chef, Ramon, won the Alabama Seafood Cook-Off.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's interesting, based on what Charlie was just saying, he won the Alabama Seafood Cook-Off with a dish of snapper escabeche.
Yep.
So he married his Peruvian background, the dishes his mom used to make at home, using our Alabama seafood products, and won. And next weekend he goes to New Orleans to compete against, I think, 15 other states.
Yeah, it's something like it's every state with a coast. Yeah, the Great American Seafood Cook-Off is limited to only states with an actual coastline. So you're not going to find a chef from Kansas there or Nebraska.
Right.
You have to be in an actual coastal state.
I don't know. New Mexico finished second last year.
I saw last year's show. Have they amended recently? It? And they've got almost somebody from every state now.
Really? Do they? Mm-hmm.
Hey, David,
that cheapens it in my eye.
The point I was trying to make is that if you open a restaurant, and you got to know what's available in your potential clientele, have enough menu items that a goodly number of people will recognize and like if you want your restaurant to survive. You can go too far in the fancy direction.
Well, I saw, you know, when the Coopers took over Ruth's Chris and they brought George Penny O'Toole in, he brought some of those Constantine Old Mobile dishes and married it with the Ruth's Chris menu. And that's why it's so hot for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing that's, and speaking of new things and interesting things, Charlie, I probably would have been like you and not tried this had the chef not brought it out and recommended it. But they did a Gulf shrimp sausage where they ground up Gulf shrimp and made a shrimp and herb sausage, regular casing. It was absolutely delicious.
Yeah, I've had some seafood. In fact, you had seafood sausage just a week ago, Mike.
Where?
At Squid Ink.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, that was a shrimp and calamari sausage wrapped around the quail egg.
Now, what's wrong with this idea, fellas? If you've got several dishes that you're trying to introduce to your community, why not have a little sampler deal where, when a customer sits down or at some point before they order, say, here's a couple of things. Try this and see what you
think. That's a great idea.
That is standard procedure at most restaurants. The problem is it's hard to get servers to do it.
Yeah.
They don't want to tell people about specials. They just want to walk up, get your order, and walk away.
I used to run that problem with wine specials.
Right. Or they talk so fast you can't understand what they're saying.
But David and Mike can both attest to this because they have dined a lot in other cities. New Orleans is a classic example. In Mobile, anyone who serves, everyone who looks at them goes, oh, that's just something they do to go to college. They don't respect it as a profession. So people who get the job, they don't respect what they do. They don't care about any of it. And none of them would have a job in New Orleans because in New Orleans, to be a server, you have to be as professional as a lawyer or a doctor because it's just as noble a profession. A filing clerk is not noble. So don't look down your nose at somebody that serves.
We had an interesting meeting with Tammy Reese, who heads up the Mountain Lakes Tourist Association, and she started a program in the hospitality industry training, and it's called Second Chances. Mm-hmm. So it's those folks that are coming out of rehab and whatever, but training them in the hospitality industry. And that what they've discovered is that because it's a second chance, these folks are motivated, they're energized, and they understand the value of what they have and the value of what they do. And and it's all about customer service.
I don't know their names, but I'm not going to announce them on the air. And I had I just happened to sit by one of them yesterday for breakfast, but there are a handful of people here in Mobile that make over $80,000 a year waiting and serving tables.
One last thing about my trip, kind of a little lanyard, a little bonus. As we were up in North Alabama, we were going to meet with the director of the Muscle Shoals Sound Studio. Mm. Well, she ended up getting called away on a meeting, but she set us up on the tour, and that was just the most amazing. And it's worth a drive to North Alabama just to go to Tuscumbia to visit the museum there, because it is just the stories, the music, the magic that came out of that little tiny place.
Phil Proctor was just up there
for
a show, some kind of music festival. Mm-hmm. Was for the
Muscle Shoals Songwriter Festival or something.
I think so. Yeah, he was just up there. Yeah, he made it back for the Nappies.
This was the last weekend. There was music all over the place. It was really a cool experience.
Oh, he's up there right now. He drove up there yesterday. That's right.
Mike's waking up and joining us, David.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, what y'all been talking about?
Have you been to Squid Ink yet, David?
No, I haven't, but that's on my list.
Yeah.
We've been traveling so much, I've been following it, and I'm excited about it. It just looks like it's going to be, as you said earlier, bar food for adults. That's great.
Yeah.
Good stuff happening.
All right. Guys, well, what else y'all got going next, David?
Well, next the next one we've got is we're actually redoing the crawfish cook-off, the competition. We're doing it kind of as a one-on-one thing for the sponsors of the chamber of that event over at Steelwood. And then we've got next, the 10th, is the Island Cook-Off. It's part of Reggae Weekend. We've got a couple spots left in that competition. Our good friend Roy is competing.
Oh, cool.
And that'll be a golden ticket in Chef for that. That's a Saturday afternoon, the 10th, out at Pirates.
All right.
Cool beans.
So that's going to be cool.
All right. Too. I'm going to have to go down there for that.
Yeah, I appreciate the heads up on that, brother.
All right, man.
All right, David. Thank you.
Be careful. Safe travels.
Yeah, bye-bye.
I forgot that's what that sausage was.
Yeah. Yeah, forgot all about.
Well, we had a. They just loaded our table up with food with drinks.
Fantastic food. Yeah, Charlie. Here is what I would. The one piece of recommendation I would give to somebody: if you see something on a menu that you don't recognize, they're not going to let them serve it if it's harmful to you. So if it's not harmful to you, eat it because it's only going to be good for you.
Yeah, but you may or may not like it.
Oh, well.
You and your wife ought to
hurt
night,
you.
Hey, you and your wife one night ought to have an adventure night, and y'all go somewhere different and try something different.
Yeah, that's a fun thing to do.
It's like wine. Just like going to wine bars and sampling different types of wines you never
had. Adventure's in our rearview mirror.
That's not pink. Try some wines that aren't pink.
Old downtrodden self said that. We taking a break?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
Why not?
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu, and I'm Jonesy Jones. You can find me on YouTube, Jonesy Jones Music, also Facebook, Crown Jewels.
Talk about the Reggae Fest.
And
Yo, Jonesy nappies. And the Crown Jewels are going to be there.
And nappies.
Yeah. Well, this is the segment where we traditionally like to talk about where we ate. Mm-hmm. But today, we're going to change that up and talk about where we drank. Tuesday night, Mike and I went to Firehouse.
Yeah.
We had a little meeting. We ain't going to give you no details, but... Something big.
Huge. Huge.
Yeah, coming from Mobile and the show. Something we're trying to put together. But I had a fine beer. Mike drank five or six bottles of wine. And with a paper straw, one paper straw, he went through it so fast the straw didn't even get soggy. But I want to talk about Sim's House of Pizza has a new thin and crispy crust.
Oh, they do?
Well, what they do, and like Pizzeria Delfina and a lot of these, the Giannino's and all that, is a New York-style pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you get New York-style pizza to go or have it delivered, it's not going to be crispy. It's not supposed to be crispy. And we get a lot of people, you know, at all these places that request, well, I want my pizza crispy. Well, the way to eat crispy pizza is to go sit down in the restaurant.
Yeah.
But... To-go is supposed to be slimy and moist, but Chris Brill, the owner, has found the special little crust that he's got now that stays crispy. When the pizza gets cold, it's still crispy. But it's not the New York-style pizza. It's not that nice, real crust. It's real thin and crackery. But now they've got the option for folks. If being crispy is the most important thing to you on a pizza delivered to your house or when you pick it up on the way home, you're going to have to give up flavor. It's as simple as that. Well, this thing makes it so you don't have to give up flavor.
Well, I have a solution for that, and I'll tell you after the show.
Oh.
I'll tell you.
You stick it back in the oven.
I'll tell you outside.
That's what you should do with any food you get delivered or take home. You should go home and reheat it.
I know a product.
Yeah.
I know
it drives me nuts when people go, they need to come up with a way so that when you pick up food to go, the fries are still crispy when you get home. No, they don't. That's the sacrifice you make being too lazy to come in and sit down and being too lazy to go home and cook. And that's what it comes down to, folks. It's not time. It's laziness. It's lazy.
I'd rather eat inside than take it home.
Yeah, exactly.
I definitely don't like eating in the car.
Yeah. Charlie's not a fan of the car.
I'm not a fan of drive-through windows.
But Heather and I posted a new post on our blog this week, which you can catch at rtwr.home.blog, but that's road trip worthy restaurants, about the Cannon Brew Pub we went to in Columbus, Georgia last
year.
Well,
when I saw that, I'm thinking, there used to be one in downtown Mobile, which is now Game Over Retro Pub.
Which I hear.
Which is great.
Wonderful things. I haven't been there yet. We need to. Our date nights keep getting eaten up by events that we have to go to at the same time, so we just kind of merge things together.
Look, you went past it like a bullet, but what was that website again that you just quoted?
rtwr.home.blog. R-T-W-R. Yeah, it stands for Road Trip Worthy Restaurants.
Okay, rtwr.
Dot home.
Dot home.
Dot blog.
Dot blog.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm not spending any money on a dedicated URL until people start throwing money at us.
So .blog is like a website?
Yeah, specifically for blogs.
Make it rain money.
Yeah. Yeah, but
somebody's phone is exploding.
It's yours. yeah, but talks about when we went down there last summer. Memorial Day, is that the one that kicks off the summer? Yeah, Memorial Day, yeah. And Labor Day kills it. Yeah. But, yeah, we went down there. We stayed in Eufaula, but we went over to Columbus for an evening. And that's a cool restaurant. And then Ryan Wilder chips in on that and says, that's the people that used to run the pub in Mobile.
Huh.
It's them.
How about that?
But it's a terrific place, so you can go check it out. I've shared the link on our Facebook page, so if you don't want to remember all those letters I just threw at you, just go to our Facebook page. There's a link on there right now. You could click on it. But Columbus was a wonderful city. We really enjoyed it. And coming up in the next week or so, we'll do another one on Eufaula because we had a great time there. Maybe even Troy. We stopped in Troy.
Chris Sherrill's hometown.
Chris Sherrill got a new gig.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He is heading
up the other day.
The new Fairhope Market, which is just a fantastic place for when I'm. I haven't been over yet.
Smells good.
Smells good. Is it got that central grocery smell, or has it got its own little Fairhope?
It's a little, yeah, it's a little modern looking, you know, real bright and shiny right now.
Yeah.
But it smells good.
Got it. Well, Chris knows a little bit about cooking.
A little bit.
He's doing those themed hot bars every day. One day was wings. One day's barbecue. There's no telling what that man's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
They, when they hired Chris, they established stepped themselves a cut above what you can get at a hot bar at most grocery stores.
Might get lionfish one day on that hot bar.
Oh, yeah, lionfish nachos, Chris. That'd be cool. Nobody's got that in their grocery store. Go. But, yeah, he says they're giving him a great freedom with what he puts on that buffet. So it's going to be, you know, just about everything they do is locally sourced,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is phenomenal for a grocery store to focus on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just going to have fun and experiment, and I can't wait to see what he puts out there because he's, you know, he's one of the most accomplished chefs in the South.
Absolutely.
And they've got him at Fairhope Market now, so I see that a match made in heaven. How about you?
I understand our buddy Patty Cakes, she's doing real well.
Good, good, good.
I understand that, and I want to give a shout-out to a friend of mine, Rusty Brazell, who lives over in Pensacola. He works for M&J Wines.
Mm-hmm.
Very bad car accident 2 weeks ago. Mm. Knocked and rolled his car over a couple times. Broke a vertebrae and a bunch of bones in his
body. That is a bad one.
Body and his neck. They got him in a halo.
You feel, a little, a little better about your bike spills now? I mean, it could be worse.
It could be worse, but I've been bike-free and bee-stung-free for quite a bit, quite a while now.
Well, you know, I've been riding my bike to and from work most of the summer, and the only spill I've had was in the yard getting ready to get off of it and didn't kick my foot out far enough, just rolled right onto the ground. But it was at 11 o'clock at night. Nobody saw it, so it didn't actually happen.
I was
going to
say, where are the people with cell phones?
That's where home cameras are.
I can tell you right now, if there's somebody shooting a video of me in my yard in my secluded piece of property in Sims at 11 o'clock at night, they're going to be staring at the end of a fist fight.
They could have had a Zoom lens.
I was listening. Speaking of this, I was listening to Sean and Darth Vader. Dalton. Dalton. They do that thing on Friday afternoons. And the 6.5 or whatever. Yeah, the 6.5 part of the show. And they were talking about the cat that was drowning, and the dog was trying to help the cat out of the water, and the cat kept clawing the dog in the face. Well, the dog jumped into the water and got underneath the cat and helped the cat up out of the water. And then the dog, he struggled, but he eventually got out. He was able to get a grip.
Because dogs can do that.
They could do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were talking about the cat being cruel to the dog by slapping it in the face with its claws and clawing it. And then I'm thinking, well, why didn't the person holding the camera put the damn camera down and go help the cat out of the water?
Exactly. And
I'm wondering.
I fully support these states that are now having these laws that if there's a crime going on and you're recording it with your phone, you're an accessory.
That's right.
You should be using your phone to call the police.
Or to beat somebody over the head.
Because you do have a legal responsibility in every state in this country to get involved if you see a crime happening.
Yeah,
you don't have to personally intervene.
If I see a guy mowing people down with guns, I ain't going to be recording. I'm going to be running.
Well, that is a response.
Yeah.
Recording it is not doing anything. So I fully support those laws where they're putting those
people.
It's time for provolone time.
I got to go to work.
Same here.
All right, buddy. Folks, got to support local, be local, buy local.
You got to be kidding. You going to work? It's Sunday morning.
I work every day.
Okay. Yep.
I work every day.
Hey, man, when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
Ask Ron Jeremy.
Amen to that. Yeah. Let's get out of here.
All right.
Provolone, folks.
Provolone.